This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and we do have some success in Tampa that has sparked debate and drama in New England to tell you about. But there's Cowboys coaching news and quite a bit of it. If you missed it at the start of last segment, Brian brought us passed along a note from Tom Pelissero. The Eagles are indeed interviewing Kellen Moore today. So if you thought he wouldn't take the interview or it might not come together, and you are worried about Kellen Moore going to the Eagles, I think concern rises a little bit. I won't be that troubled by it until he's gone and the Cowboys make a horrible coaching hire to replace him. I do think it's entirely possible you could replace Kellen Moore if he does go. It's not the end of the world, but it would be a challenge, and I'd be really interested to see how the Cowboys react to it. Is there a candidate in-house, you think, Brian, that could carry on the torch of what Kellen's been working on?
Yeah, I think the closest would be what Doug Nussmeier's been able to do. I feel like that if you're with Dak's situation, Dak has a lot of respect from what I've been told with Kellen and Nuss and what they've been able to do. He did really love John Kitten and how he helped him last year. But I feel like, though, if they want to carry on with what they're currently doing, Nussmeier would be that guy. He had been a coordinator. I know people will look it up and they'll say, oh, he was bad at Michigan or he's bad at Florida or he's bad at Alabama, whatever. You know, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I get it. I understand. But as far as a guy that wanting to try and push the offense, I'm very fearful for Cowboy fans, and we've talked about this a bunch. If it's Mike McCarthy and then Joe Philbin in title as the OC, I don't know how much the offense is really going to push. If Doug is part of that, as being the coordinator, I think you'll get a much better stealing of ideas and then pushing the offense and pushing Dak to be even better than he was for the five or six games he was last year.
Very interesting. Mike Fisher will join us here in about 15, 20 minutes or so and give us what insights he has on that story. I mean, it's not like he's a favorite or we've heard anything about it, but this is an advancing of the story. Kellen Moore interviewing today with the Philadelphia Eagles. There's a report that they're also interested in special teams coordinator John Fossil. Do you think he's head coaching material, or does this go to Fossil turned around the special teams and maybe they want to pick his brain?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, this is more that I know that he was highly respected with the Rams. And then, again, if you had any kind of contact with Sean McVay at some time in your life, then you all of a sudden become a brilliant coach, a potential head coach. Yeah, his dad was a longtime coach. We all know Jim Fossil with the Giants forever, took him to a Super Bowl against the Ravens. But yeah, I think that to me, this is one of those things where they're just trying to cast the wide net. You talk to people in Philly, I compared it the other day to like throwing spaghetti against the wall. You know, that's how they feel a little bit about it right now. You felt like that they were really honing in on Josh McDaniels. He was like a 9-hour interview they had the other day, and now they continue to talk to people. So maybe some things are going on with McDaniels that he's going back and forth about. You know, we've seen this with him before, that they can't quite agree on everything, and he's going to drag this thing out as long as he can.
And then the Bears are snooping around here. They're interested in talking with Cowboys senior assistant defensive coach George Edwards for their open defensive coordinator position.
Yeah,
it's just interesting that you could have anything to do with this Cowboys defense and be an attractive candidate. But apparently he's built a really good resume, and Chicago believes in him. But what responsibility does he have in not changing the Cowboys' trajectory on defense this last year and letting it get so bad?
Yeah, well, he was really just a senior assistant, did a lot of work with the linebackers and stuff. I believe he was one of those guys that at the end of the day was looking at the scheme and going, man, we've got to make some changes. We've got to think. He was, I believe he was a guy that was trying to help them with some of the transition stuff. Very, very well respected guy by the front office. Very well respected guy around the league. I have a feeling if he gets this opportunity to leave the Cowboys, that he's going to be gone because he wants to be a coordinator. And you know, but if he doesn't get the job, I think he'll come back here and they'll find a way. Dan Quinn and him were together with the Miami Dolphins. He was a linebackers coach. Dan was a defensive line coach. So I think they'll find a way to kind of get him incorporated on the staff again.
There you go. You are updated on the Cowboys coaching situation.
There's
another
one
busy
more
day here. Oh,
yeah.
There's one more.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Jeff, you got it?
Their DB coach, Maurice Lindquist,
yeah.
It looks like he's expected to go to Michigan and be the co-defensive coordinator. So I would guess, and maybe Brian can confirm or also guess, but I would guess that the Cowboys were going to be moving on from a lot of their defensive coaches anyway.
Yeah.
So if you could find another gig, maybe get to it.
Right.
So their defensive back coach, Maurice Lindquist, he came from Texas A&M. He's headed back to college, it sounds like. Looks like he'll be at Michigan, co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah, this was a guy we talked about 2 weeks ago that he was snooping around college. He wasn't long for the NFL. There was a lot of finger-pointing going on towards him, towards Al Harris as well. And now that they got Joe Witt to come in, there's no need to have Lindquist here anymore.
Well, very good. I guess congrats to him for landing on his feet, and best of luck to him in Ann Arbor with the Michigan Wolverines. Sorry, didn't work it out with the Cowboys. Okay, lots of talking points around Tom Brady NFC Championship game in New England. You know, I think it's a rush to judgment, very premature. To what extent does it show Tom's more important than Bill? You know, and I think that's pretty unfair to Bill. He had COVID to deal with. He didn't have time to find a quarterback. But time will tell. And Tom has drawn first blood, hasn't he? He definitely showed he didn't need Bill or the Patriots. Just send me here to a team that's got personnel, some cap space, and a good defense, and old Tommy will do the rest.
I tell you what, even people who might sports hate Tom Brady and might have accused him of being washed last year, gotta respect where they are now. You have to. You can't.
Yeah.
There's no other way to do it. Like somebody texted in and said, Gavin, can you ask Jeff why he hates Tom Brady so much? And the answer is, I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't know why I sports hate different people as much as I do, but Tom Brady is right at the top of the list. I think he gets great treatment from the media when he acts certain ways on the field that other people don't get treated well when they do that.
He slams the ball in front of the ref and starts going off on the ref and never gets a flag for it.
Yeah, I think he gets treated differently than a lot of people do by the refs and by the media. And maybe part of it is just that he wins so dang much and I resent him for it and that he's got all the money. And I don't know. I can't explain my sports hatred for him fully. But what he did this year at the age of 43 is absurd. He's played really, really well. He's been in the NFC 1 year, and he's headed to the NFC title game. So what are you going to say about him? The dude
he's still good.
He's incredible.
Yeah. He's still good.
And
to me,
it took
a huge boost to his resume. Sorry to cut you off there. Finish my thought over to you.
And this is probably my sports hate jumping right back in. He probably shouldn't have won that game. It was the three turnovers that turned into two touchdowns and maybe three touchdowns. Like, he didn't play great, but somehow if he is on the team, your team will be better.
Yeah.
He was not individually great in that game. They could have easily lost the game if the other quarterback wasn't super washed. But, you know, his teams win. That's what they do, and that's what you want.
What narrative are you assigning it, Brian?
Yeah, I think you have to give him a lot. I was very interested, as we all were, in the offseason. You know, they had a bunch of opt-outs with New England. Were they going to be able to replace Tom Brady? I think we all thought that Cam Newton would go up there and play better than he did. He wasn't ready to play, and it clearly affected the way the Patriots, their season went. But with Tom, I don't know how you could ever bet against the guy, even at 43 years old. I don't know. I think the one chance that Tampa has in this game against the Packers, and I don't think it can turn into a shootout and then win it, but I feel like, though, that he's not going to do anything to really mess it up. And, you know, maybe they get some turnovers. Maybe they figure some things out defensively. I mean, they smashed Green Bay when they played during the regular season, and that has to be on Green Bay's mind right now. You know, and Tom is, you know, he's done a great job of leading the team. They buy into it. I mean, him and the coach have arguments. They seem to be okay. You know, I think there's a lot of things with Tom Brady being on the under center for you that give you a chance to win. And he proved that by going to Tampa that just a few years ago, everybody was kind of laughing at them for the direction they were going.
Yeah, I think you guys both nailed it. You know, it's really interesting how Tom drops into a perennial loser and gets the job done. I do think he found a great spot to go to with the protection, with the receivers, with the defense. But I also feel like the greats have an even better feel of when to open it up and when to just, you know, live to fight another day. And even more disciplined and impulse control approach to the job without it neutering them. You know, and I think for a lot of quarterbacks, they have a really hard time balancing going for it and protecting the football. And, you know, the older you get, yes, you're losing velocity, but you all are also gaining an even greater ability to keep your team out of trouble.
Yeah, he what he's done is he's made, by him showing up in Tampa, he's elevated the play of his teammates. And I mean elevate,
that
not,
too, yeah.
You know, those guys don't want to let Tom Brady down. You know, they're looking every win, every advance in the playoffs. They're looking at like, man, look how we're one game away from going to the Super Bowl and hosting this thing. You know, yeah. I mean, the buy-in is huge with Tom Brady because you don't want to let him down as a player. So now you're finding ways to maybe, you know, prep a little more. Maybe you're taking care of yourself a little better. Maybe, you know, things you thought about doing, you're like, I can't do that. I got to get ready for this game. You know, I mean, the buy-in with him, when you watch him play, the team sees that. And there's a lot of guys that just don't want to let him down.
Especially guys that haven't maybe believed in their quarterback as much. Now it's like, man, we got Tom Brady. We got a chance.
We got a chance. That's
goodness, this could really happen. And now the guys believe.
Absolutely.
Instead of being cynical. Bruce Arians said, quote, consummate leader, has been all year, got the air of confidence that permeates throughout our team every day. Said, I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. That was with Brian, your buddy, Peter King, in his weekly column there, talking a little bit about it. And New England's fired about that as well. You know, I don't think it's a mistake for the Patriots to have said, listen, the coaches are going to coach, the players, you're going to have plenty of time in the quarterback room to be giving input. But once we're on the field, you know, practice, playing, whatever. But I do think if you have you know, a transcendent type of leader who many of the guys on the team were like 5 and 6 years old, poster on the wall, the whole deal, if he can communicate clearly and concisely, and if the players do respond to him, if you're not giving him an opportunity, maybe you are, you know, leaving something on the table. And, you know, maybe Bruce Arians checking his ego and allowing the players to be more in control is something that allowed Tampa to go to, you know, somewhere they haven't been since, John Gruden, right? 20 years ago?
It's been a while. Yeah, sure has.
Right. Okay, so then the other angle here in New England, a lot of the fans are stuck between trying to be happy for Tom and being ticked off that the team couldn't find a way to make it work longer with the GOAT. And looking back on it, there's been a lot of articles written about it here over the last 48 hours. Really got weird when Tom said, I want to play till I'm 45, and Belichick said, there's no evidence that you're going to be able to do that. And then when Tom got wind that there were other organizations that believed in him or were willing to bet on him and give him more of a multi-year deal, that was more attractive to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he was tempted to go prove it elsewhere. And now that up to this point, I think he has proved it. Even if you don't get to the Super Bowl, you can kind of put that feather in your cap and be, like, validated. You know, I think it does boost his legacy, and maybe it scratches a competitive itch. But there's no doubt if you're in New England in the front office, you got to be regretting this at this point, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, there is that. You have to be. And the fact of the matter is, too, New England is starting to lose – you know, personnel. You know, their coaches are interviewing, their personnel guys are leaving for other jobs. You know, I believe they all see the writing on the wall there. You know, what's going to happen in New England here in the coming years. We'll see if Belichick can turn it around. It's amazing reading stories, too, about how close Tom Brady, if Drew Brees doesn't come back for another year, the story was that Tom Brady would have likely have gone with Sean Payton down in New Orleans and quarterbacked that team if Drew Brees would have left. So, yeah, it's just, it's, it, you know, football is as Jerry says, you know, it's the bounces and things like that. It's strange, but sometimes the fate is tied to just certain moves you make or moves you don't make.
Would you bet on guys doing it over 40 now? Are you having
yes,
to
I
adjust
would.
Your age
yes,
where
I would.
You're cutting
you,
off your
you've,
guy?
You've got me convinced that the way that these quarterbacks are taken care of, if they're willing to stand in there and throw the football, the way they're protected, the way the rules are about throwing the football, the fact that they don't call holding anymore, you know, that these linemen, what they're able to do, the receivers, the routes, all that, the coaches, I think, are better prepared for attacking these defenses. So, yeah, you don't have players headhunting like they did back in the day on these quarterbacks. I think quarterbacks can hang around a lot longer if they don't run the football like the Suns we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you nailed that. I'm gonna see, and what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna look at it more like performance. Age really is just a number. If you're starting to look like Roethlisberger and you're 38, you're done. But if you're looking like Breeze or Brady, 42, 43, I'm going to roll with you for a while.
The things that you can watch nowadays, if you just watch the Lakers play basketball and watch LeBron James play every night, and Jeff has brought this up on our show several times, pays $1 million a year just to keep himself fit. You know, if you have that kind of money and that ability to do those things, you can. You know, you're not always going to defeat Father Time, but, you know, you could sure slow things down for him.
Speaking of that, 972 asks, have y'all talked about how weird Bruce Arians looked on the sideline? No, we haven't. He did have some health concerns like 4 or 5 years ago, and I just don't know. But, yeah, he was looking like he'd aged 10 years. So I don't know. Maybe he was just a little under the weather or something.
Yeah, he's been a guy that's been – he struggled with some of his health issues, and that's why some of the – when he came back after he got released from Arizona, there was like his family, like, you sure you want to get back in this? And he's like, yeah, that's what I do. So, yeah, he took the job, and, you know, he's got that team playing really, really well. I mean, you don't need me saying that. I mean, they defensively, offensively, they do a great job. I mean, they're well coached, and, you know, they're going to give Green Bay a run.
I'm a huge Bruce Arians fan. I hope nothing but the best.
He's honest.
Say some crazy stuff sometimes.
He's really honest. I mean, you could catch him, like, you could ask him a question. Nutty. And he'll say something, you're like, going, did he really mean to say that? And it's like, and then you know people that know him, and it's like, yeah, that's Bruce. Yeah.
Okay, Eagles interviewing Kellen Moore today. Mavs have lost 3 in a row. Mike Fisher joins us next in the G-Bag Nation. Yes, sir, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to join us. A big day of news. Eagles are interviewing Kellen Moore today. Mavs are hitting the skids a little bit. What do you need to know about these stories? Let's check with Fish. A segment's brought to you by the Can Academies. And it is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk to you personally. Take control of your debt. Eliminate your stress. And allow you to live life again. It starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Fish, how the heck
He's
are you?
He's in the building!
Outstanding, General. Yeah, let's do a little coaching carousel for a moment. There's a handful of names that are out there. Kellen Moore being tied to the Eagles. And I know some people have said, oh, they're dead serious. It's not just to pick his brain, but it's probably both. Probably a good idea. And I said this about Wade Phillips, who's twice Kellen Moore's age, but I think it applies to both of them and everybody in between. Hey, if we're going to cast a wide net anyway, why don't we talk to a 31-year-old boy genius? So I do think that's part of what's going on there. Meanwhile, they also want to talk to Bones Fossil. And I did a video on this. We'll put it up on the Fan website shortly. I'm not trying to be insulting of Bones Fossil's qualifications at all. First of all, he's 47, so he's paid his dues. He's a son of an NFL head coach, so he grew up with it. He's been an interim head coach with the Rams for a brief time, and he's as innovative as they come. And, oh, by the way, last year's Cowboy special teams was maybe the worst in the league. And I don't know, Jeffrey, maybe the worst we've ever seen. Brian, as bad as I remember seeing. And then this year, according to Rick Gosselin's rankings, they jumped from 31 to 11. So all kinds of good reasons to say, yay, Bones. But the biggest thing, General, is, and stop me if you've heard this broken record before, his agent is the same agent as the general manager in Philadelphia, Howie Roseman. And that might not be the only reason, but it's damn sure one of the reasons.
And get you guys some interviews?
Let's get him. I mean, Bones Fossil's not going to – nobody else has interviewed him. He's clearly an afterthought in Philadelphia, and I say that respectfully to him. He's not getting this job, but his agent gets him in the headlines. And then, you know, maybe next year he can actually get a real live interview. Meanwhile, George Edwards.
Well, and I think, the Eagles get chances to learn from everybody around the NFL. One of the most coveted assets of coaches throughout football history has been the opportunity offseason to learn. Now, it doesn't have to stop with coaches. Your front office, your president, your GM, if they're going to be great at this job, they have to be learning around the clock every year. You can't assume you've known everything about football there is to know. Now you get to kick back and just make decisions. It's constant.
Yeah.
So I love that the Eagles are, for whatever reason, just interviewing as many people as possible because they get to have football conversations.
Me too. And it's not just – I know some Cowboy Nation people are being kind of paranoid about it. Listen, and I know Brian Broaddus could attest to this. You interview these guys, and one of the things you ask them is, what do you think of our team? What do you think of our offense? What do you think of our defense? What do you think of our scheme? What do you think of our special teams? What do you think of our personnel? That's a great reason to interview Bones Fossil because he's clearly a clever and creative student of the game. Bones, yeah, we love you. But also, as long as you're here, what did you think of our special teams? And general, in that sense, you're absolutely right. George Edwards is on the Bears defensive coordinator list. And the people inside this building, the star, when I talk to them, they want to find a way. And they have tremendous praise for George Edwards. But, obviously, if he's interested in flirting with the Bears, then that means there's no done deal here. You know, he is a special assistant here. That's his fancy title. Obviously, I'd rather be defensive coordinator in Chicago than be a linebackers coach in Dallas. At least I think I would. And so he gets his name out there and deserves it. As somebody told me the other day, the toughest, smartest, best teacher in the building is George Edwards. And I, if I'm a Cowboy fan and if I'm the Joneses, who have met with him in addition to McCarthy, I sure want to try to find a way to make that thing happen. Is there anybody else in the coaching carousel we need to mention, Cowboys related? Fossil, Edwards.
Lindquist, looks like he's going to Michigan.
Yeah, Lindquist is going to Michigan, yeah.
Looks like he's headed to Michigan to be the co-D coordinator.
And, Brian, he's a college football coach maybe, huh?
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that he was already putting feelers out to when all the thing was going down with Mike Nolan, we were talking about that he was also already reaching out to colleges about going back that direction.
Yeah, and he can be characterized, he just wasn't a good enough teacher, and maybe that's true. Or maybe some guys are just better suited to college, and that's okay too. Now, to the issue of mental health, if I may, for a moment. And we wrote a story, and it is a magazine caliber story you can find at Fish Sports, about Roger Staubach and his family. And Roger, for the very first time in his life, and his daughter Michelle is 52, I believe, and they have been dealing for 50 years with her very serious mental health issues, serious enough that in 2017 she got that electroshock therapy. She's also a highly educated, highly decorated lawyer. She's a brilliant person, and she comes from the Staubach line. Now, what in the world? What would you have to be depressed about? Of course, is what her friends told her when she was growing up. Well, Roger has come out, Michelle's come out, and this, of course, has a tie to Dak Prescott because Michelle is telling us, "I want to reach out to Dak Prescott. I want to help." And I just think, and Jeffrey, you're obviously, Tolos know all about this. I just think it's incredibly brave for Roger Staubach to tell us as he did. I never knew what to do. I mean, I love my daughter, but I didn't know what to do. And, there's some adorable pictures of her. He's got the Heisman Trophy in his living room going back, 40, 50 years. And there's a picture of her. She's treating it like it's a horsey. She's riding the horsey of the Heisman Trophy. I mean, it's just adorable and it's loving. And then it's horrible all at the same time. So thank you to the people like Dak Prescott and the Staubachs and Jeffrey and so many others that are trying to explain the only real way to get help is that we lean on each other. And in a related story, coincidentally, General, here comes Delonte West and the former Maverick and NBA standout who's working in the facility, the rehab facility. And now, working, he got a job there. And so with the guidance of Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, he has reunited with his mother. He is not only in the facility, but he's working in the facility. And just really a nice feeling of hope for Delonte West, who, you know, I got to know when he was here, and I just thought he was hilarious, and he was very cooperative, even talking about his mental illness. I asked him one day to talk about if he'd be willing and interested in talking about the fact that he has multiple personality disorder, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, they're all me. I love them all." And it was hilarious and disarming and tragic all at the same time. So again, Mark Cuban, Dak Prescott, Jeff Kavanaugh, the people in the medical profession that are trying to help, moms and dads. And this is what Sabak General was talking about, because now we know something about it. You know, I can explain it to my younger son now in a way that I don't know that my parents could have explained it to me 50 years ago. That's a long grind without knowing what to do or how to do it. And so thank you to those people, including you, Jeffrey, for sharing, because as we said about Dak when he came out and said it, and Roger said this about Dak too, he's saving lives by talking about it. And Roger Staubach, so are you. You're saving lives by talking about it.
Yeah, it is tremendous, man. I think that's well said, Jeff. And, you know, I think Jeff has been – you know, one of the people locally that's been most responsible, you know, for advancing the dialogue around this. But I think now in a not too short period of time, the world's evolved greatly on this. I mean, you said 50 years ago, I'd say five, you know, this thing is coming around pretty quick. And I think it's exciting because, you know, it's just miserable to have to try to deal with something like that. But without the world understanding, it would feel helpless. But now there at least seems to be a lot more options and sympathetic ears.
Oh, just, and then, General, finally, you mentioned the Mavericks. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just saying, it needs to be totally normalized, where it's like, look, depression, bipolar, anxiety, like these are things. These are medical things. And I think I'm doing the number off the top of my head, but I think I'm in the ballpark. Like a quarter of adults in America deal with one or multiple or whatever. And it needs to be just incredibly normalized, where it's like, yep, me, my checkbox would be, you know, depression, anxiety, and ADHD now, but whatever. And it's just like, yeah, those are things, you know, that's yeah, got that.
And Jeffrey, you know, Not in a way that minimizes it at all, but an acceptance of it the same way that we accept that a guy's got a bad knee or a bad heart. It's just part of your body. And you know, it's a funny thing, and I'm glad we're getting there, but nobody was ever ashamed because they had a trick knee. You know, it's fine. I'm not comparing the two necessarily. I'm just saying these are all just parts of your body, and they're wired a certain way, and the chemistry's a certain way, and they work a certain way or they don't work a certain way. And the more we talk about it, I think the more we'll come to an understanding, especially, Jeff, for kids. Because when did you know that, okay, my wiring's a little different here?
I would say somewhere between 17 and 19 or 20. Give or take.
So my younger son, I've never told this before, I hope he doesn't mind, but we're, you know, he's pretty open about it. They gave him a test. This is probably in second grade, and it was two long sticks and four short sticks, and they said, make a ladder. Now this kid's IQ is high. His regular old IQ was perfect. He had no idea what they were talking about. He just couldn't envision what they were talking about. Four short sticks. Now, and you guys, I mean, in 2 seconds, everybody else can go, well, you take the two long ones and then you put the four short ones in between and you make a ladder. That's when we knew in second grade that there's something different with the wiring. And so I hope, General, you're right. I hope we're getting away from making fun of that guy over there, because it's not fun to be that guy over there. We need, if we can't quite bring ourselves to embrace it, because, or to embrace him, maybe that's our own challenge. but we can bring ourselves to accept him.
Yeah, nobody would willingly give away a career like that. You know, it's something that's, you know, real serious, and I'm glad we're getting around to working on some solutions for it. Okay, now what about the Mavs? Any concern here? Are you at a Mike Bacsik level of concern on their three-game loser here, Fish?
Or, of course, Coach Balsack is always concerned about everything. It's part of his charm. The fact is, when and I'm working on a piece right now suggesting that they need help, that Luka needs help. But in fairness, I mean, they're playing without four top-of-the-rotation guys. You know, I do think it's probably fair to say that if Josh Richardson was playing and Dorian Finney-Smith was playing and Maxi Kleba was playing, that maybe they don't lose three in a row. At the same time, I still believe and have all season long, as good as they are going to be, record-wise, I really believe they're going to be good, very good. To be elite, I think they need to shoot their shot. And what Mark Cuban has done over the years with his rosters, especially this is my response to people that say, they wasted years of Dirk. Dude, they won 50 games every year. For 12 straight years, they won 50 games. There was no waste. They were good every year. But the one thing that Cuban did do philosophically, he was very patient with the season opening roster. He really believed that, hey, we built something that we think is good. Let's give it time to blossom together. I might argue that this time around, your shot to be great with Luka Doncic starts today. And therefore, maybe every year at the trade deadline and every year in free agency, you should shoot your shot every single time. Because I don't want 15 years or 10 years or 20 years to go by and have us go back and say, well, we were really patient with that roster and we were wrong. Now, we were really patient with this roster and we were wrong. Because I think we'll all agree, Gavin, the Mavericks are close. And if it's one big trade or one chemistry change or one little trade, then it needs to be investigated. And so patience for this edition of the Mavericks starring Luka Doncic, maybe patience is not a virtue.
Appreciate you as always, Fish. We will pick up the conversation tomorrow, 3:20.
Salute.
He is at Fish Sports on Twitter, the great Mike Fisher. And salute to everybody here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text for sharing their experiences, listening to the Fan, you know, reaching out because of the kind of things Jeff was talking about, reaching out to Jeff on Facebook. Hey, we're here for you, you know, so I don't have nearly the level of expertise Jeff does, or, you know, the sympathetic ear as far as knowing what to listen for. But if you need to get a hold of Jeff, get a hold of me, you know, and I'll definitely pass your information on. It's a very important topic. Now, with Charlie Reds, his is extreme, right, with Delonte West, but that is great news. The guy was working. He was doing such a good job out there at the resort, you know, recovery place. They were like, hey, why don't you just stay out here and work on, you know, and do the whole thing and help other people.
I have a buddy who had a family member that did the same thing. And it's really? It's funny. I think that happens to a lot of people, is eventually you realize if you go through something, it becomes kind of a passion for you.
Really?
And it's like, okay, so if I went through this and now I can help people with this, I think in a lot of ways it becomes more important than whatever you were doing before. And it's
right
like,
on.
Yeah, this is my purpose, is to help people like me.
Well, right on, man. God bless you and Delonte West. Now helping guys go down the same path that he's on. Around the NFC East, story out of Philly, casting doubt on the GM's ability to see clearly. That's next in the Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we will be discussing the availability of not only Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning over the last 10 years. And I'll ask you, the next time an aging GOAT quarterback is on the market, would you like the Cowboys to drop everything and pursue that individual, considering how the last two went? Okay, let's jump into this topic right here, though. Story out of Philadelphia. It's pretty damning around Howie Roseman here in the Philly Inquirer. Now, these guys with the Inquirer, they'll really get down to the nitty-gritty, right, Brian? You worked in Philly for a couple of years. These guys are always digging, aren't they?
Oh, no, they will find everything out about you and anything they're writing about. So, yes, you have to be careful.
You mean like how Roseman has a full-size fat head of Carson Wentz in his office? Literally?
He
literally?
Yeah. Literally, yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, I've been a believer in Howie Roseman. I've thought they have an edge there because of how aggressive he is. He's kind of playing by his own rules, and he seemed innovative. But this stuff is what pro management nightmares are made of, really. And what Jeff said right there sets the scene at the top of the story. Howie Roseman had a life-size poster of Carson Wentz in his office. Still might be there. But the decal, like a fathead, a fan might plaster in his or her bedroom, became an inside joke among some staff about Roseman's overt affection for the Eagles franchise quarterback. It also became a symbol for his misdirected handling of an employee. And the story goes, Roseman put himself on the line to go out there and get Wentz when they traded for him. And when Wentz had success, it boosted Roseman's power inside the organization. And as a result of that, I would wonder, guys, and let me get your thoughts on this. Did it create kind of a cowboy situation where what Roseman and Lurie thought of the player was more important than what the coach thought? And maybe that's an overplayed narrative with the Cowboys, but it absolutely did happen with the Eagles. And as the last couple of years have evolved, Doug Peterson's attempts to coach Carson Wentz were met with more and more resistance. And the story goes that in the first 3 years, when Frank Reich was OC and John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach, it spelled a tremendous amount of success. They win the Super Bowl. They coached Carson super, super hard, and he took it. And he was the best version of himself. He was an MVP candidate, this, that, and the other thing. Those guys leave, and since then, his coachability essentially disappeared. And Lurie and Roseman treat him as a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So all of that goes to create quite a bit of resentment and perhaps a situation where the quarterback refuses to be held accountable. It actually reminded me a lot of the RG3 story, guys, when I read it.
That's actually the exact thing that jumped out to me. And I was,
yeah.
While I was reading through it, I was like, golly, I've read this story before. Mm-hmm. When you have a player who is picked really high, and the front office has a lot invested in him, but it turns out that the guy that you picked that high and gave that contract to isn't really coachable and isn't really willing to do the work that it takes to be great. Because in order to be great, what it takes is somebody has to be able to tell you and teach you about how you're not great. And if your way of reacting to that is to like shut down or push back or not want to hear it, how are you going to get better?
And yeah, so talking about exaggerating the pressure, or, you know, a guy didn't have the route run properly. It was always an excuse, like an 11-year-old.
Right. And I read it just like RG3, where it's like, wait, hold on now. Don't put my bad plays on the screen. I don't want to see those. I don't want to I don't want to learn from this. Look, there was some pressure on that play. Look, there was no.
Yeah.
Like you have to want that. That's one of the things that you have to. Tom Brady's 43 years old. He's won 700 Super Bowls. Bruce Arians tears into him. And it's okay. It's coaching. Yeah.
So while all that's happening, an internal struggle is occurring where people are going to the owner and the GM and saying, man, this isn't good. But he's fighting with them because he wants it to be true. He put himself on the line. It's true. And if everybody in the organization believes it, his power remains up here. But now that he's dug in more and more and more, it was headed in the direction where there had to be a clear winner and loser because of the disagreement inside the building. And I know, Brian, a lot of this stuff is old hat to you, but when it gets put out here in the media and spelled out for the rest of us, it is an opportunity to discuss it.
No, absolutely. And it should be discussed because Doug Peterson was in a situation where he didn't believe in Carson Wentz anymore. You know, that was it. I mean, he was like, listen, you know, you guys can, you know, do all you want to try and manipulate things, but there's things that he absolutely cannot do. And he goes, I don't see the advancement of Carson Wentz. I don't see how we can get better. You know, I can work with him, try and get him better. But, you know, there was some legitimate concerns. And I said this before. Doug Peterson, I believe, is relieved that he does not have to work with that organization anymore. That he's gonna go and he's going to find his spot. He has to take some time off, but they've got some real issues there. And you know, and I'll tell you what, they're in a situation too right now where Jeff Lurie is being sold. Hey, Josh McDaniels, and I don't think he's really sold on Josh McDaniels. He's having to have some convincing, and that's why they continue to interview people. is because Jeff Lurie's in a situation right now is like, okay, you're telling me that we can interview this guy? Okay, let's keep doing this. Let's keep going. And, hey, they might hire Josh McDaniels, but I'll tell you what, Jeff Lurie isn't exactly on board with what's going on as we speak.
Well, with all of that noise internally, I would want to get as many external opinions as possible and try to, you know, because I got into it with Doug and maybe it got personal. I want to go ask as many other people as possible, how savable is Carson Wentz? What could you do with him? I'm not only looking for the right head coach, but I'm looking to challenge my opinions and my assessments and what drove a wedge between me and Doug. And maybe if they come to a good conclusion, it can still be an organization that's in good shape. But if your GM can't see a bad player because he's tied to him in some way, right, I think that's a pretty big red flag.
Yeah, you know, and you get a guy like Mike Kafka, who we've talked about, who's works in Kansas City with Andy Reid, and Kafka took his name out of consideration for the job. Hmm. Two things, Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. You know, that's all you need to do is talk to those two, and they'll tell you why, you know. And Andy had a hell of a run in Philadelphia. He really did. But, you know, he knows the inner workings of working with Jeff Lurie. And, you know, I've worked with Jeff Lurie myself. He was great to me. But, again, he was very, very young in his ownership at that time.
Managing success sometimes can be more difficult than managing failure because the credit, the egos, the belief that people have of what they are and who they are, not the hardworking guy that built this thing, but now I'm a certified champion. You better not talk to me that way.
Isn't that right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Howie, after the Super Bowl, he got into with the Philadelphia media. I mean, immediately after they win, the first thing he did, he went up to Jeff McClain, the writer for one of the Philadelphia papers, and he told McClain, he goes, "You never write any effing thing bad about me again," you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, instead of celebrating and enjoying that day, he took it to make a point to a media member that covers the team.
Yeah, that's not a sign of healthy stuff, you know. No. And you know, maybe the Super Bowl was a sign that they're on the right track in a lot of ways. Maybe it was just luck for what has become a consistently a frustrating organization for their fans and their inability to put it all together. Okay, next time a GOAT QB is available, should the Cowboys drop everything and try to bring him in? That's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.